Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Principal and the Pod, a podcast for listeners to hear about the little things at Orchard that make a big difference. On today's pod, I have an opportunity to sit down with students to talk more in depth about just a few of the special projects and activities that take place here at Orchard. But before I jump into the interviews, I want to take a moment to explain why there's been such a time lapse between the first and second episode of the pod. In early October, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease and mold toxicity, which meant that for weeks on end, I was unable to stay awake for longer than 2 to 3 hours a day and could not seem to bounce back from what was debilitating back and joint pain. And while I'm still working to treat some of the residual effects from both Lyme and mold, I'm happy to report that I'm feeling much, much better and that my energy levels are almost back to normal, or as normal as they can get with four young children. I just want to reiterate how incredibly grateful I am for the support of the entire Orchard community over these past few months. Thank you all so, so much. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to move on to the show. Up first is my interview with a few of our second graders. I had an opportunity to sit down with them and hear about the ongoing work that they've been doing around food waste, food equity, and food justice. I'm sure you'll enjoy. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with a few of our second graders about the work they've recently been engaged in around food waste. But before we get started and dig in, can you please go around and introduce ourselves to our listening audience?
Okay, yeah. Hi, I'm Madeline.
Oh, and I'm WJ.
I'm Cecilia.
I'm Charles.
And I really appreciate you guys being here with me today to talk about such an important topic and something that you've been studying so hard. So let's go ahead and dive in. The first question that I have for you is, why is food waste an important topic? Why is it something that we should care about?
Because, like, some people don't have food and we throw it away and they can't have it.
Because some people in the world, they don't have food, and so we should be lucky that we do, so try to take less food because a lot of people in the world don't have it.
Anyone else have thought?
Yes, because, well, as you guys know, there's a lot of food that people grow that's not used, and also some of the food could be bad for animals and they could eat it, and landfills grow and climate change happens and it's food waste is just really bad.
I think that I hear a lot of talk about the fact that people don't have food or that it can harm the environment, or I heard a little talk about global warming. But food waste doesn't happen here at Orchard, does it?
Yes.
Well, so that's why we are trying to fix food waste, because it is a problem in our school that we're trying to all fix. And seventh grade is just trying to start out with seventh grade, and then I'm pretty sure next year the next second grade is going to also move on probably to a different grade, and hopefully our whole school will be food waste free.
I want to just ask a clarifying question. You said second grade has been working with seventh grade. What has second grade been working with seventh grade to do?
We're working on our food audits, which is we're asking them questions. And why are you taking so much food?
Interviewing them
and looking at their food waste and seeing how much they are actually wasting.
And some don't even care about food waste.
But there was one person, remember Cecilia, you interviewed that one person who really did seem to care.
Yes.
How do you, you said that you've been looking at their food waste. Do you look with, do you just kind of eye it up, or how do you?
What happens is when we did our first food audit was actually not too long ago. They were eating their food just like a normal day, and they would come up and we all practiced and did this huge job of doing all this stuff, and they would come up and our job was reporters, and they would come up to us and show us their tray, and we would interview them and ask them a bit of questions. And there was another group who saw, like, they were dumping their trays, and I don't know that much what they were doing. But a lot of them were all just trying to help out the whole school not have food waste.
So they dumped their food into the trash, and then what happened to it after that? What happened?
Well, the food, after you put food in the trash, it goes to a landfill. Mm-hmm.
So, like, and then they crush it up and they burn it. Mm-hmm.
So you should, like, start composting, worm compost and recycling.
And giving food to people who don't have it. And there's some food that is good for animals that you can give to animals.
And, like, if you don't want to drink, like, a full... if you don't,
carton.
Yeah, if you don't, if you know you don't want it,
maybe you could have a friend have it.
Won't drink the whole thing. You could split it with a friend.
You could pour half of it in cup. You could pour half of it in one cup. Pour another half in another cup and share one cup with a friend.
So those are just some solutions that we can use right here at Orchard that could help to reduce the amount of food waste that we produce.
Yeah. Yep.
Those sound like some pretty easy strategies. How do you feel like you're going to help spread the word about ways that we can reduce the food
waste?
We're
thinking maybe posters can help. We can draw posters and stuff and talk and do videos like this.
But then
how
will we give posters to everybody else in the world?
People who also want to help, just make a video and upload it onto the internet or something.
Or we could hang posters around the school.
Yeah, seesaw.
Yeah.
So it sounds like even right now you guys are coming up with ideas that you can use to help solve this problem.
Yeah.
When is your next food audit? When's the next time that you'll get food audit?
I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty soon.
I think it's March.
February,
like near that, like
the end of February. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, the end of February.
Yeah.
And will you weigh the food to see how much it weighs?
Yeah, the girls group.
We're
weighs
reporters.
The food.
So.
You guys are the reporters.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about what the gross group does. That's an interesting name.
So they're in charge of the buckets. They,
basically, the gross stuff. Like they take care of the buckets and help with the food and.
So the gross group has to dig through the food waste?
Yeah.
Huh.
They're
in charge of the buckets. They tell everyone where like a milk carton goes.
Yeah,
okay.
Like there's milk
and
cartons, meat,
milk
liquids.
And they help seventh graders. They know a lot about the buckets, so I believe, if I know this right, don't they go around and they do a little bit of helping the seventh graders know where to put themselves?
They send, I think the lobbyists send them the people with their trays, but that haven't dumped their food to us, so we can record their food waste
and
what they think
about
food waste.
And then they go over and do the whole process of like dumping their trays, and some of the laboratories help them know where to put all of the stuff. And I think some of the marketers are helping, and I think the gross group is kind of around. And I believe if you're a marketer, you raise your hand, and then the gross group comes and gets the bucket from you, and we'll go dump it. I think that's the process, but I'm not sure because I'm a reporter.
I'm pretty sure lobbyists, their job is, at the beginning, the day before our first food waste, they got to tell the seventh graders what we got to do, but someone wasn't there, so I got to fill in, so I know, like, a lot of things. So we all went around and said our names and just told them what we were really kind of doing, but we wanted them to
just like be a normal day where they're not like they're just eating a normal amount of food. We just wanted to tell them what was going on without them though kind of like trying to not waste.
So you feel like you got an accurate sense of the of what lunch on a normal day looks like for the seventh graders?
Yes.
And then you guys will work with the seventh grade from now until the next food audit.
Yes.
And see what kind of waste. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've heard a little bit about Shrub and Associates, which I believe is a brand new environmental service agency. Are those the jobs that you all applied for, and how did you determine which job you wanted to be a part of?
Okay, so
we picked our jobs.
The top three ones that we liked best. Top five.
One through five.
Yeah. One is the best, five is the one you...
Your least preferred job?
Yes. So okay. I wanted to be a reporter, but if I didn't get that job, I wanted to be a lobbyist. And if I didn't get that one, I would be an analyst. And then if I didn't get that job, I would be marketing.
So all of you at this table right now are reporters?
Yes.
I could tell why, but for our listening audience, why don't you walk them through how did you know you wanted to be a reporter?
Okay, the teachers told us all about what would be going on in our jobs. And then kind of after we figured out so what happened was we were just all sitting on our own rug, and we knew that we were going to do this. We just didn't know like much about it. We knew a lot about food waste. We just didn't know much about what was going on with the food audit and stuff. And so they printed out a sheet, and like they would put like boxes near, and then we would pick our top five ones, and they would just tell us a lot about our job, and so that's how we got to know about our job and pick it.
So the jobs had descriptions next to them on this piece of paper?
No, they told us about it, and then there was kind of a little description. There was a little description on the box near it, so then you could remember which one it was.
So, Charles, what was it about the reporter that made you think, that's what I want to do?
I thought it was like interesting. I was really interested in it. I like asking questions and finding answers. So
it was basically based on the skills or the things that you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
You felt like this would really fit my skill set.
Yeah.
I really wanted to do it because I just love to talk to people and love interviewing, and I love asking questions and finding out the answers, and I just love to talk and do stuff like that. So it just sounded like a really, really fun job. I also love to write things and send them to people, and I am almost always ready to talk to someone. I just love, love, love talking. Like, I'm enjoying this so much right now, just talking.
Yeah, no, this has been great. I can tell it's a good fit. What about you, WJ?
I love asking questions, and reporters ask questions, and I love talking to people. So,
that was really what sold you on it?
Yes, that's why. And reporters do a lot of that, so that's why I choose this job for my number one job.
Well, it is awesome, and just listening to you guys share out about what's happened and the work that you've done so far, I'm excited just sitting here listening to it. What's next? What's the next thing that you're going to do, or what are you most excited about that's coming up?
I'm most excited about the next food audit, because that is when we really start to do our job. Because mostly everyone does most of their job in the food audit, but we still have tons of parts before the food audit, but this whole thing is only for the food, well, not for the food audit, but like all the stuff that we're doing before the food audit is because it's for the food audit. So it, and we all, I don't know, it's just that's all I really have to say.
No, that's great. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into getting ready for the audits. Okay.
Yes.
So
my first food audit, I was a little nervous to be talking to the seventh graders.
Right, but now that you've done one, how are you feeling about going into the second one?
Great.
Awesome.
Because, I'm very, very excited for the next food audit, and I loved talking to the people, and it was just a lot of fun doing the audit, but it is a little bit scary and weird when you're doing it, because it's kind of odd just talking to people and having them coming out, and especially there's a lot of the seventh graders are, like, making fun of each other while they're, like being interviewed. Like, for example, when I was interviewing, a seventh grader, and, like, her friends were sitting out there and being like, well, if you think food waste is a problem, why are you wasting so much, and blah, 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 blah. And it kind of ruined the food on it. But overall, I just love, love, love doing my job and being a reporter. So I'm so excited for the next audit.
Well, that's great. I can't wait to hear what comes out of it. And it sounds like those are very real conversations that you guys are engaged in. Charles, what about you?
I'm excited for the coming up audits. I want to see how they're going to do after we tell them how to reduce food waste.
Ah, so to see if it's if they're listening and if it's sinking in and if you're making a difference?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that just from what I've heard and what I've seen, I know you guys are definitely making a difference, and I'm going to encourage you to keep up the good work, and I hope that we have a chance to hear from you later on this year. You can report out on how successful the project's been.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for taking the time to come in and talk to me this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck with the next audit.
Anytime we can talk to you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. Yes. I appreciate that.
Bye.
How incredible are those second graders? I had so much fun sitting down and hearing from them about the work that they've been doing. There's a passion in their voice, but there's also a passion in their eyes. I know you weren't able to see that, and I guess that's one of the downsides of a podcast. Next up, you'll hear from a few cast members of the fourth grade production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Had an opportunity to sit down with these talented individuals to reflect on the joys and the challenges of pulling off a successful fourth grade play. Today on the pod, I'm joined by a few cast members from fourth grade's production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Hey, friends. You are fresh off your performance of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I'm really looking forward to sitting down with you today and discussing the highlights of the fourth grade drama performance. Can we start by having you introduce yourself to the audience? And if you wouldn't mind, can you share the character that you brought to life on stage?
Hi, my name is Mikey, and in Willy Wonka, I was the narrator 1 and Oompa Loompa 3.
Hi, my name is Parker, and I was Baruch Assault.
Hi, I'm Celia, and I was Mrs. Gloop.
Awesome. So I'm wondering, the fourth grade play is a huge part in the life of an Orchard fourth grader, and a tremendous amount of time and energy goes into pulling off the final production. So, Maggie, we'll start with you. Can you tell me, what were you most proud of having accomplished during your drama experience?
I was really most proud of, like, getting all of it done. And even though we had a few mess-ups, we still went on with it, and it was still a good play.
When you first started out, did you feel like, how are we going to get all of this ready by the time we have to perform?
I thought we wouldn't get all of it done before, and then I got all my lines memorized, and actually everyone got their lines memorized, so.
That's awesome. Parker, how about you? What are you proud of?
I'm proud of that, like, all of us, like, got it to work out so well, because, like, when we started, it didn't seem like it was going to be great, but then we got further into the show, and, like, it turned out to be really good. I'm just proud of that we all worked together to make it become a great production.
That's awesome. Thank you. Celia?
I was probably most proud of that, even if one of us messed up our lines, the next person would come in and, like, say the next line, even if it wasn't the right one. Because our drama teacher always said, no play is ever the same, because everyone will always jump in with their line.
It's awesome, because as someone watching the play, if you had told me that there had been a mess up, I definitely did not see that or recognize. So I imagine that a lot goes into pulling off a final production, and I wonder how many of the skills that you needed or learned during your drama performance have, like, how have they helped you in other parts of your school life?
I think the play helped me by, like, since I, like, memorized a lot of my lines and we did a bunch of dances, I thought it kind of helped me with, like, a bunch of my schoolwork that I'm doing in class right now, like maybe reading or maybe writing or any of that, or like building stuff or something like that.
Nice. Parker?
I think it helped me with memorizing because at the beginning of the play, I was really worried that I wasn't going to get all my lines memorized in time, that I was going to do a great mess up in the play and be really embarrassed, but I memorized my lines the weekend I got them, and I got pretty proud of that, and so I think it helped me with my memorizing and confidence.
Awesome.
I think the play mostly helped me with, right after the play, we had to memorize our script for a wax museum that we were doing, and that kind of helped me figure out how to memorize everything.
So it's like you jumped from character to character, but you had already had practice with it. Were there strategies you used to help you remember the lines, or things that you would use to help trigger a memory?
I would put my script on the copier and copy out most of the pages that I had my lines on and give them to one of my parents, and they'd read the lines.
Oh, nice. Parker and Mikey, did you guys try similar strategies, or did you have different ways of memorizing?
Well, all I really did, I just basically, like, when I got home, when I didn't have them memorized, like, kind of the same thing as Celia, except I would just give one of my family members the book of my lines, and then they would do the first line, then I'd do the next line.
So there was a line that you used to help you kind of remember when it was your turn to go? Oh, nice.
For me, I started out with my parents saying the first line ahead of me, and then I would say my line, but then I got better at it, and they just said the word before, and I knew, after I heard that word, that I knew it was my cue to come in with my line. So
nice. It's cool to hear the different strategies that you guys use to help you memorize the lines. So maybe in addition to memorizing lines, what was something else that you found really challenging about getting ready for the play?
What I found challenging about this play was, like, there was a bunch of scene changes that I didn't think we were going to be able to pull off. Like, there were, like, at least three or four, maybe, or, like, yeah, like, four scene changes that I didn't think we could do.
And when you say couldn't pull off, is it because the amount of time that it would take to get it changed, or what was something that you were worried about in terms of...
Well, I thought, like, if they were a lot bigger, I thought it would be really hard to move and we wouldn't get it out in time.
And at the end of it, were you able to figure out how to do those?
Yes.
Effectively? Awesome. Awesome. What about you, Parker?
Like what Mikey said, because even Mr. Klein said that Wonka scene changes were some of the hardest scene changes in all of the fourth grade play rotations. So, like that. But also, like, I wasn't sure if we could pull off memorizing our lines because some people, more than others, were having a hard time memorizing their lines. And so I like that we all, like, helped each other out.
Yeah, it kind of goes with what you were most proud of.
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah.
I think that we all are kind of proud that, like, on our costume, our costume rehearsal, we had, like, the littlest kids come, and a lot of kids forgot their lines, and, like, when we did practices, not as many kids forgot their lines. Then when we did the real performances in front of people started to forget their lines, like, in the pressure.
Yeah.
But for the real... one for the parents, I think we all did very well.
So it was good to have those practice opportunities with the spotlight on you and in your costume.
I was actually the spotlight. So
you were in charge of getting the spotlight on other people. You didn't have it turned around on yourself.
Yeah. And the scene changes were also harder for me because I would run down to do the scene change and then run back up to the spotlight.
To the spotlight? So actually getting to your place in time was an additional challenge. So the last question I have for all of you is, has this experience piqued your interest in pursuing more theater opportunities in the future?
I think, like, if there's, like, a kind of an easier, like, a better or maybe a really good opportunity for me, I might take it. But, like, Willy Wonka was probably one of my favorite ones that I would ever do.
So it was that was the highlight for you, and it would really take a special role for you to want to get back into the acting. Okay. Mm-hmm.
For me, I would probably want to do more acting because I've always loved acting, but once I didn't have a great teacher for me that taught me in the acting, like, stuff, and so then I kind of quit it because that kind of, like, built it down for me. But then in the fourth grade year, it, like, built it back up because he, like, taught us all good stuff. And, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Klein does an awesome job. That's good. That's great to hear. Celia, what about you?
I think that I would do a few more plays, but most people, like, in, like, middle school and elementary school and stuff, they think of a school play as, like, a little Christmas skit or something. But the fourth grade Orchard play is a very big deal, so.
You guys are a very big deal. I'll say, not only was I impressed by your ability to pull it off in Willy Wonka, I'm also impressed by your ability to talk about it here with me, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to share a little bit about the play experience. So thank you for being on the pod with me this afternoon. Just a special thanks to the fourth grade students who allowed me to interview them. Not only do these students possess stage presence, but I think you could tell that they also have pod presence as well. Well, it's curtain call for this episode of The Principal in the Pod. Again, I want to thank all of the students who took time out of their busy day to share their experiences with us. I look forward to sharing with all of you more of the awesome work that goes on each and every day in early childhood and elementary school here at Orchard very, very soon. Take care. Until next time.